Hello.
Alors,
oh, sorry, you got me while I was under my desk.
did you find whatever you were searching?
Well, wasn't that. So my house is strange. I have like a air conditioner heating unit in my office. And when it's in heat mode, which it is right now, every once in a while it gets filled up with water, so I have to drain it. So I went to do that. So it's high, under my desk when, electric's a lot cheaper than gasoline.
Oh, is it? Yes.
We primarily use electric for heating, and my electric bill ends up being like $300 to $400 a month throughout the entire year if I use kerosene. It can cost me about $600 to $800 every time I fill the tank up, and I have to fill up the tank up every month. So, it's a lot cheaper. It's just because, it's because of where my the funny thing is though too is like if my oil tank was inside, it would drop the price down by like a third, because I could change the fuel oil I could use. And if I had a newer furnace, it would drop it a little bit more because then I could use biofuel instead of kerosene. But because I have an old furnace and because the tank is outside, I have to use kerosene instead of fuel oil. So it's very complicated and annoying.
Is it
Well, I
depends
bought a
on
house a
whether
few
the
years
tank is
back ago.
inside or outside.
Sorry. It's always a big discussion here in Germany which kind of heating you have. A big topic to discuss. If you like, we could start
I'm
up.
always curious. Well, New York State also, Jeremy State's runs on propane.
I used to have propane. I do natural gas now, but when I lived out in a more rural area, I had natural gas. I mean, I'm sorry, I had propane. What do y'all use, Martin, Jenna?
Oh, we have, I don't know, gasoline, I think it's called. So
So
propane,
I just it just bought a house 5 years ago, and we had to switch. It was a big old oil tank in the garden, but now we have a pellet heating system where every two or half a, every half a year we need a new a reload of pellets, and then the big truck arrives and blows pellets into our cellar. So
cool.
it's nice. It's wood pellets, so it's really smells nice,
That's the nice
but.
thing. That's what I want. That sounds awesome.
The nice
It's a
thing about
wonder that
propane.
it's that gasoline is so expensive in the US for heating. I mean,
It
we have
depends for
gasoline
you.
and we pay maybe like 300 euros. I mean, it's more or less either euros or dollars, I would say it's more or less the same. Like 300 maybe.
It depends where you live. Like as Jeremy was saying, like right now I have my furnace is kerosene, But that's because the tank is outside, so you have to use kerosene, otherwise it'll gel up in the winter. And my hot water and cooking is propane because I live in a rural area. If you live in a more metropolitan area, then you get natural gas and the price is literally jumps down in half.
Like, yeah, natural gas is pretty cheap.
Yeah.
I don't know what's the difference between natural gas and propane. I don't know. I think we do not have this difference in Germany.
Yeah. Propane is the byproduct off of the gasoline creation process. So it's made from oil and petroleum, where natural gas is literally like the gas that's actually contained within the ground.
Well, you find it in rural areas around my rural area, at least in Germany as well, the propane tanks in the gardens.
Okay.
They say, at least they say propane on the outside of the tank, so I assume that's what it's in, what's in it. Well, but we are all cozy and warm, right now.
Yes.
Yeah, and today here in Texas, the first day where I live, at least, of actually like kind of cool weather. I mean, it's not really cold, but it's just like not hot.
You're going to say a number that's going to make me hate you.
And just to complete the conversation, I got to know, Charlotte, what do you use for heating?
So I have an old wood-burning furnace down in my basement.
Oh, man.
And then I have four huge water tanks, because I have a pretty big house, three floors.
Yeah.
A month ago, I also got air heater system on two of the floors, just so I don't need to go down to the basement and get all of this started every morning.
Yeah.
But it is, I have a large chimney in the center of the house, and it's really good for when you live in an old house to have the chimney being hot all the way up. I have a lot of wood I have to, stack every spring and summer, and a lot of work. And I have a lot of wood I can go out, and so if I get angry in the foliage, I can just go outside and chop some wood.
You must have very high piles of wood then.
I do. But everything goes into this wood-burning furnace. So
that's great. Well, you don't mind if I share my screen?
Yeah. It's
okay. So in the group discussing the relationship between the PC and release management, Autumn found this template to build a charter for that group. And it seemed to go so well, I thought we could use it here. And hopefully we'll have half the success she had with that, because I thought it went pretty well doing that. So I think, unless I'm misremembering, I think that's really what our agenda is today, is just to try to get a charter together so that next week at the PC we can, roll it out and show everybody that we did our job. Does that sound right to everybody else?
Yep.
Okay. Well, cool. So the first thing this is asking us to do is to clearly state our purpose. And I thought that a good way to start would be to grab this stuff here. I'm going to see if I can be clever and... Yeah. Okay. Right. So I'm just going to throw these statements in here from the retro and see if something like a purpose for this group emerges. So I'll read these out. The PC should embrace this new work of community directed development framework And with forming CDD, get a direct say in and secure that the priorities for feature development for Folio is actually being developed. Okay. The PC work directly with the CDD working group and help define phases 1 through 3. Now I am confused about this phases 1 through 3. Is this in phases 1 through 3 in the CDD or phases 1 through 3 in the DIP process? I know I've asked this before, but does anybody know?
Yeah, I know because it's me who wrote it up, and it is the phases in the CDF proposal.
Okay, so this is embarrassing as the author of that particular proposal, but I don't recall off the top of my head what phases 1 through 3 are. Here we go. This. So was this in the implementation section? Sorry to scroll so fast. I'm never writing such a long document ever again. Okay.
Phase 2, phase 3. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So according to this, then the scope is to ride out with the CDDF through all three phases of implementation. Okay. All right.
Well, I can say my overall was for that I wanted the PC to align around that we support it and we help get this work to get started and be, you know, and if so when I added those things in the retro board, then it was to get that commitment from the PC.
Track and communicate development from ideation through delivery. And this seems to be, I believe Caitlin was the one who wrote this, and at least from her perspective, I think that she sees this largely as being delivered by the DIP process, was my impression. I don't want to put words in her mouth, but that's my impression of the value she saw in the DIP process. Continue establishing and reinforcing the prioritization process, highlight any successes, and the PC along with the CC and TC has an important role in the realization of the community directed framework. Yeah. Implement the DIP process from CDDF to bring greater transparency. So this right here seems like a goal almost explicitly. I know that this has been talked about a lot. I have no idea if y'all want to do this. I did start just trying to write out a take on the purpose for this. Do y'all want to take a look at that and see what y'all think of it?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what I got. The community directed development product council working group, that's a mouthful, exists to ensure that the product council plays an active role in shaping, guiding, and communicating the implementation of the community directed development framework. So for a starter, does that sound accurate?
Yes, I think so. That's a good framing, opening sentence.
And then I just wrote these down as primary goals. Establish and refine the PC's role in the CDDF as a transparent participatory mechanism for prioritizing community-funded development. The idea being that, you know, the document, the CDDF defines a lot of ways in which the PC should interact with the process, but it doesn't like go all the way as far as it doesn't get very detailed about it. And I think that, you know, we probably could come up with some more explicit details or maybe even, you know, changes if there are ideas in there that don't seem to hold up to scrutiny. I also have ensured that the PC, along with the CC and TC, has a direct and meaningful role in realizing the framework. I don't know if this is like, this seems like an important thing to remember. I don't know if this should be a goal or an objective. I don't know.
So I think that fits well with what we also talked about in the session with Autumn yesterday, that, you know, it, this is PC, CC and TC kind of together. It's not just PC who can lift this. And it's as much as it goes for the talks we had yesterday on release management, stakeholder group and communication, then this goes actually even tighter, because the CC is responsible for funding.
Yeah. Yeah, this really, it, to be totally honest, this whole thing is not going to work if the CC doesn't do their part. So, you know, that, yeah, that's a going after them and, you know, encouraging them to, you know, to participate does seem like an important part of it.
And yeah, when getting to it, then I'd say this should be lifted up very high before we spend too much time, because if they are not taking ownership on that part, you can say then we can close the work.
That's true. I mean, like, yeah, if everything is dependent on the CC's buy-in and involvement and we don't have it, then we would just be wasting our time. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
None of us want to do that.
No, no. We...
Yeah.
Then you should maybe rephrase the framework and say CDDF, right?
Yeah.
So that we know that we always talk about this when we mean framework. Is that correct? Or
yeah.
Okay. And then I'd like to ask, could we be then more specific in how to ensure it as well? Or does it come later on? I haven't had the chance to read it all.
No. It's not more explicit object later on.
I'm sorry?
There is no later on, so now's the time to make it explicit.
I mean, it's just an idea. If I would wonder how should we, is that our task to make explicit, or how is it called, specific sorry, the words aren't coming. Give a model on how we can do that, the insurance of the involvement. Is that our task to if this group has to ensure that, how do we do it?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I, for my part, I kind of have two. Well, you go ahead, Martin.
Further down in the in scope section, we have establishing and maintaining communication pathways between CDD participants, the PC, CC, and TC. So I would have interpreted this sentence as that it's our goal, our scope, to establish these communication paths. I mean, how the councils will communicate on this topic.
So maybe,
was it meant for something different?
No, I think that these things echo each other for sure.
So communication is one part on how we ensure the participation. That's how
I think it's maybe it's the most crucial thing.
Mm.
I think, and I want to mention that Jeremy, you had some action item from last week.
Uh-oh.
That you wanted to you wanted to ask the other councils how we get involved. Oh, I mean, how we.
Yeah, that's right.
Or may meet or whatever, communicate.
Yeah, that plays hugely. I think that is probably the easiest and biggest win that we could have for this goal, would be to get the other two councils to agree to meet with this group once a month to make sure that we're coordinating our efforts in the three councils on CDDF. If we can pull that off, then, you know, if we could get them to agree to that, then I think that will go a long way to allowing us to satisfy this goal. But that's true. I have not reached out to them yet, though. Thank you for reminding me of that, Martin. Implement a minimally viable development initiative proposal process to provide visibility and opportunity for community input before work begins. I don't know about before work begins. We don't have to qualify any of that. There we go.
I think the community feedback or input is also maybe a goal or scope in itself.
As a, I don't know. Like to gather feedback from the community on how they feel like the process is working.
Yeah, I think together with this rollout, this concept of these phases for rollout, we maybe talked about, or at least I thought there must be some kind of feedback process. If things go into the right direction. And so this could be something this could take care of.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I have a little that is kind of hen and the egg situation. I'm happy to hear that you say yes, because if we spent, you know, a ton of time on refining the DIP process and, you know, setting all of that up, and, you know, that is kind of a new process. And I have a little, as you know, being very heavily involved in folio development for 9 years or so, we have it already in Folio JIRA, the process for doing this. So it's a little, you know, a new concept, or is it just same wine on old bottles or something like that? But also, so for me, establishing who is the community development or driven development team, and how is that organized, is kind of more who to pick up all of this work. I'm not so interested in, you know, these processes around describing new types of UX product features, and you know, it's I don't know if it's a little difficult for me to see that we, and I wonder a little bit if this being very interested in the DIP process is kind of because you are not so familiar with how we are actually doing UX product features and all the JIRA tickets and all of that today.
Yeah.
Which is known way to work in Folio by now.
That's a really good point. When I wrote out the DIP process, I was never imagining it replacing the JIRA work at all. I was hoping for it to be a somewhat lightweight way to kind of put something out there that could act as a proxy for a set of work that needed to be done, like maybe even multiple UX prods or something like that. That could be kind of a magnet for funding, And so the dip is there, and people can look at it, and it links out to Jira Work, but it's the thing that people specifically, say, I'm funding this proposal. So that's something that's not present in the Jira process right now. Like Jira is disconnected from funding, right? There is no concept of money. Oh man, apparently I'm raising my hand. There's no concept of money in Jira. And so this now, I mean, it does that would have been another approach to it, I think. Another way that we could have done this is imagine how we can adapt our Jira process to kind of work with this. But I guess my fear was exactly as you're saying, Charlotte, I don't really the Jira stuff seems to have been working pretty well, and I didn't really feel comfortable going in and like tweaking it or changing it. So I just kind of want to build something off to the side that could like point to it, but then also connect up to bringing funding into development.
Okay, then I think then yeah, then I'm fine because we shouldn't redo a process we actually have kind of adopted and are, so much around the release management and all of that is governed by how we do Jiras today. And I'd say that kind of document do already live today. So if it index data is approached by a library who wants some functionality, then we typically get a written up document with requirements and yeah, even some rough UX mockups on how people would like things to look in the screen, and that is kind of a starting point, which we do the estimates based on, and then.
I still imagine documents like that and artifacts like that, like kind of existing, and just kind of the dip is a pretty thin, just kind of collection that points at all of those sorts of things. So it would have like links out to the relevant Jira things, or if there's RFPs associated with it, or things like that. It would the dip would kind of point at that. Almost like an umbrella or something like that. And I mean, I suppose we could use Jira, to facilitate the dip process. I don't see why that couldn't be the case necessarily. But
Yeah. So I am working with a customer where we are right now in the planning of some new work for Umbrella Leaf. Umbrella Leaf. It could might maybe be a kind of a case story for doing the dip.
Oh, that's a cool idea. Yeah, I mean,
But
we
I need to talk with the customer if they
sure.
would be interested in that. But we have just started up work on that, so
I like that idea. I totally agree with you guys. There's so many things in Folio that in our community and our process that aren't working well. I would hate to mess with one thing that actually is working well, which I think is the Jira part, so. The last one on here says track and communicate development activity from ideation through delivery, reinforcing the prioritization process and highlighting success, which I'm not actually sure. I think I pulled this one pretty much from the retro board, but I'm not really sure what that means if I'm being honest. I mean, this is kind of what the dip is intended to do to some extent.
Yeah. And
So
to me,
I'm.
that just basically says that PC is going to be the PO of the community development team, or over the PO of the community development team.
Yeah. But that does bring up a really interesting point. Thomas, you just kind of hit on this, and Charlotte, you said the same thing. This set of goals does not address the community development team at all. So is that something that we want to get on here? Is it one of the goals of our group to figure out the formation of that team and how they will operate?
So I would like to say yes, because otherwise I think who else is going to do it? And if it's not specified, then the CCE can come back to us and say, okay, we don't know how much money are we to get together.
Yeah.
But I'd say this group could maybe have models depending on, 1, 2, 3 levels of how much funding we get. Because if we are setting up plans for something way too huge than the community can afford, then ends doesn't meet.
I mean, I'll go ahead.
I say we could easily do a model of based on individual teams, saying that we define what a community driven development team looks like, who the minimum players are, a preferred set of players, and what the organization of that team is going to be, and that way it could be scaled up. So if we only have enough to fund one team, it's only one team, but if we have enough to fund 20 teams, then that pattern is just used for all 20 of them.
That's an interesting idea. Another, I'm sorry to jump in front of you, Martin, but I just real quick want to say another aspect of the CDDF is that it includes the option for work to be done by a community development team, but also for contractors to be hired to do work on behalf of the community, hired by the community to do work on behalf of the community. So either and both approaches are on the table. Martin and then Jana.
Yeah, if the PC doesn't do it, I think the TC would be, I mean, in my perspective, the TC would be the first council, on the most appropriate council needs, because the TC defines, for example, the technologies that are used in Folio and so on, or they have an eye on that. So they can, they can compile the the skill set needed for a development team and so on. I mean, so this would be, and maybe they also can, I mean, they have the technical or the depth perspective the most from all three consoles. So I think they would be the natural head of a development team.
Yeah, there it definitely is a a concept. A community development team is a concept that has implications on all three councils for sure. Jana?
Yeah, I was wondering, and maybe that comes from not really having too much read into the CDD framework as well. So I know that in the past we had the community development team, right, Charlotte, or everyone, that we already had something like that, right?
Core functional, and we also had a core platform.
Yeah,
so and we had two development teams before we formed all the more scoped development teams. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. That means we already had something like that running. So, and did that? I mean, do we have lessons learned? I mean, that primarily did not work out because of funding. Am I right?
And no. You can say it didn't work out because at least for core functional, the developers were hired by EBSCO and went into other teams. So at the end, it was very few. And Mark Johnson was not doing any development. He was kind of supervising everything.
Yeah.
So there was no developers yet. Yeah.
I remember now. And so, but what I want to get to is that we maybe have to have a look on how it goes now, how development is done now, and how a team could integrate into it. I think that should be also part of our scope, because having something that is separate from how it is done now, and that is part of why we are all very hesitant to go on to Jira. You know, it's something that's running, and people have to integrate into how development is working right now. And how, I mean, we already have, and Charlotte, I think you just offered to have a look at how community-driven development is working right now, in having a community gathering around a topic and then bringing it forward with their money. Right.
So I'd say both Thomas, who is a PO in the Vega team, maybe also involved in Volaris, and I can definitely, give you an overview of how a typical development team is functioning today. And you can say, Thomas, from the inside of EPAM teams. And I know from the inside of Indexdata's different development teams, Thor, Sif, Clemming, Odin.
Awesome.
and we are you can say Indexdata. We work both in modules Indexdata owns, but also in other teams' modules. And
So,
the
yeah,
we
thank you.
have the
I think that
know-how. Yeah.
exactly that's what I wanted to say. We already have the know-how, and they also an idea on how it could work. So where do we need the resources to go? That should be specified by this group, and how that could look in a governance kind of perspective, where we can, well, who decides on where the things go? And that should always be all the councils, I think,
And
right?
I like the idea if some of the work the CDD has planned for could be picked up by some of the regular teams, some of the regular EPAM teams, if they have bandwidth. Because I'd say the overall scope of the CDD kind of process is to make sure that the work the community has asked for is being coming up to surface and being done.
Yeah. So
Exactly.
the way
And
that.
th sorry, sorry,
No,
Jeremy,
please.
because the final thing I wanted to say is exactly that, Charlotte, that the work that people will want the community team to pick up is oftentimes features that already are very much wanted and being technically part of other teams already, but are not as highly prioritized because of customers didn't want it, but other people wanted. You know what I mean? And so prioritization is always a thing, but it's really delicate then to, handle the time of other teams. So this it should be a very good kind of communication on how this works or can work. I don't know.
So the and again, like all of this is on the table and we can dig in and fiddle around with it. But the way that this was laid out in the CDDF to work is that a development proposal would come through. So it could be, this would represent something that the community wants development on. And so it gets created. And as part of the process, the PC gets to decide whether or not the community is going to fund that work. And funding that work could look like the PC saying, okay, community directed development team, we want you to work on this. And they start working on it. But it could also look like taking some of the community resource points that we have available and basically paying for the work to be done, like hiring somebody to do that work. So that's the idea with a community directed development is that there's kind of a pool of resources that include direct development resources that, you know, can be directed by the community, but then also just funds that could be directed by the community to engage other teams in work. And I suppose one thing the document doesn't explore is something, I forget which one of you just said it, but the idea of existing teams participating in community development work, that's not something that the document explores, but that I don't see why that couldn't work. So
I wonder though too, is if, I'm not sure if this is even PC or if this is probably more TC, but if one of the councils should look back at how other teams contribute to current code bases and solidify the process around that and escalate it to a higher level so that it's consistent amongst all the dev groups, so that people coming in know, like, if Cornell sets up a dev team and we want to contribute code, we know what the process is going to be to contribute to those modules, either as ourselves or as one of the community-driven development teams.
There is going to be, and Charlotte has mentioned this before, there is going to be a lot of cross development across, you know, kind of domains if we go down this road. And so standardize, like, just as you said, Thomas, standardizing the way that that looks and coming up with some like conventions and cultural expectations around what happens when that happens in order. I mean, we don't want to just, you know, make everybody angry because people are kicking around in their house, you know, kind of thing, you know. So
And right now contributing code to, let's say, one of the EPM modules requires a pull request, and then it has to be reviewed by the devs that own that module, and it kind of acts as a little bit of a gatekeeper, because theoretically they're the experts of that module. And they can look at the code and see if it's going to affect any work functionality being worked on and any past functionality, and then kick it back and say, this may cause issues, or they may cause issues, or this is kind of outside patterns, or we found this works best. They even do that amongst themselves. But yeah, just trying to formalize that whole process and escalating it up a little higher, so everyone, it's clear that that's an expectation across the community.
Yeah. Well, so let's see. So in scope, out of scope, define and refine the CDDF phases and associate PC responsibilities, including the creation and management of the DIP dashboard, the classification of folio components into community and participating components, and the process by which CRPs allocated to the PC are managed and spent. And I'm about to run out of batteries. you guys look over these in scope, out of scope real quick while I go run and grab a charger real quick.
So not coffee.
So I did notice the battery was low, and if it was my old laptops, it would just have been, you know, it looks like it has still 10% left, but it goes from 10% to zero, boom. So
it's also a Mac too. Macs, once they get around, I think it's 6 or 7, we'll just say, okay, we're shutting down for safety.
Yeah. It's a Mac, yes.
Yeah.
But impressing. It's from 2013 and still running. So
nice.
It is nice. It has been, you can say, it felt expensive when I got it, but now it's not expensive anymore. If you...
The only thing, I have a Mac here that I use in the living room. That's my toy computer. I think I got that from Cornell when they tossed it out, and it was 4 years old then. And I've had it for, actually, no, it's a lot older than that. It was about 6 or 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I think that thing is about 10 years old. And it works. It still works fine. Yeah. My Mac Pro is about 4 years old now. And some of the things I do, I can see the age on it a little bit. But it's usually when I'm running a llama and trying to run a massive language model. That's when I feel the age the most. But
Any suggestions when it comes to the scope that we have here?
I don't know.
Go ahead, Martin.
Out of scope, maybe we should specifically mention that we are not dealing with funding or acquiring funds.
Can never spell that word, but my computer can. Acquisition of funding. Yeah.
Or is that a task the CC has to do?
It certainly is.
I mean, if somebody from CC is part of this group, then I think then that's right.
Yeah, so the way I hope we can get it set up is that basically we will have groups that are counterpart to ours in the TC and in the CC, and that we can just kind of, you know, meet together, you know, on a regular basis to coordinate what we're doing. But this charter right here is just for our independent efforts, independent from those other groups. Okay, so some of the ones, I put this in here. Right here, and there was some debate about this last time, so I do want to surface it for transparency's sake. But I have the classification of folio components into community and participating components. This can only be an exercise, because until we officially have some sort of like CRP budget or something like that, you know, in the context of the framework, it would only be. So this is defining and refining the process of classification, not necessarily performing the classification. So maybe the process of but there was some discussion as to whether or not that was something that we wanted to engage in or not last time. So I want to, you know, to be, you know, upfront about the fact that I threw this in there. From my perspective, it's really important that we do this classification, because a big part of the CDDF is making sure that we are funding the support of modules, the ongoing support of components and folio. And we can't do, just the bottom line is, we just can't do that for everything. Like we can't do it across the board. And so we need some way of selecting the things that we are going to pay for support on and the things that we aren't. For my part, like there's a balancing act to be had, where a lot of people want new functionality, they want new development, they want, you know, new things to be made, but they're not necessarily thinking about the cost of maintaining those things. And so I was hoping in the creation of the CDDF to present something where, in order to make something new, you have to account for and cover the cost of maintenance for that upfront before you make the new thing. And so the classification is just an attempt to facilitate and kind of force that point.
I have a question to that, and maybe Albert as well. So is it our task to find to create a platform or a process to bring people together as well, who want the same feature to be done? Or is that still the task of the six? I don't know if that is already in here somewhere,
Yeah.
but you know what I mean? If we have something like the ARM maps, for example, do we, if we as the main funders of this of these functionalities are not able anymore to fund them, then it's not the case. But I maybe it will be in the future, and the maintenance as well, and new features that other libraries or participants of the folio community want. So if we need to find those people, do we have a platform for that? And that can be also for different apps as well. You know what I mean? Not the, I mean, of course we have the six, and feature requirements will be collected there always, I guess. But how do we put it up then into the, is the community up for funding? Is that our task to create a process? Is that in there somewhere?
So I think that the way that that would look is the TC, and they are actually engaging in this process right now, are identifying the components of Folio that are considered to be core components, like what, you know, what it would look like. So if you take the ERM modules, if the TC were to select any of those as core, I don't know what definition they're going to use for core, but I don't think the ERM modules would be core. But if any of them were to be core modules, then the community would have to fund support costs for those modules. But let's assume that the ERM is not a core, you know, considered, you know, any of the ERM modules, none of them are considered core modules. Well, at that point, whatever remained in the, you know, the budget would go to the PC, and the PC would get to say, all right, we actually, you know what? Do y'all mind if I run through the scenario document? Have we looked at that? I think it would make this make sense. Development scenarios using the CDDF. Okay. So this is just imagine. Now, full disclosure, AI wrote this, but it's pretty good. I gave it the CDDF and asked it to come up with scenarios, and gave it some guidelines, and this is what it came up with. All right, so the community council begins the year by analyzing pooled membership contributions, hosting providers pass-through, so the, like, you know, all the funds that are coming into the community, and after a careful review, they set the annual development capacity at 10,000 community resource points. So this is all just made up numbers, just to kind of think through the thing. So they say, all right, we have 10,000 community resource points. Pricing by the technical council. Next, the technical council determines the cost of sustaining Folio. Their task is to identify the core components of Folio and to assign support scores, standardizing cost and CRPs to the entire landscape of core and participating modules. So like every module, and I hopefully they'll take an algorithmic approach to saying, well, this is how much it costs to support, you know, these modules. They identify 10 components as core. Each is given a support score of 400 CRPs. So the base support score for Folio for the core modules is 4,000 CRPs. They then assign support scores of 200 CRPs to the many other participating modules in the ecosystem. So the core costs 4,000, and, you know, I don't know, there's 100 modules. So, you know, at 200 a piece, you can kind of see it would be a lot to support the whole thing. The TC has set prices, but they do not decide which participating modules will actually be supported. So then it goes to the PC, spending by the product council. The product council is now faced with choices. Their task is to allocate the 10,000 CRPs provided by the CC, spending them against the prices set by the TC. Mandatory core coverage. So the PC has to fund those core modules. So right off the top, they have to spend 4,000 CRPs to fund the support of the 10 core components. So that leaves them 6,000 CRPs left to decide what to do with. Community app designation. The PC decides to spend 50% of the remaining pool to cover the cost of participating modules that they designate as community apps. So that means the PC could go in and say, all right, well, of these 6,000 CRPs, we're going to pick out a certain number that we want to fund support for, you know, and ensure that these are, you know, the technical debt for these are being taken care of. So at that point, Yana, the ERM modules might be selected, you know, by the PC and say, well, you know, we really want to focus development in this area, so we're going to support these modules, which I suppose would be great news to you guys if the community was throwing money at the support of those modules. So half of that 6,000 is 3,000 CRPs at 200 support points per module or per component. That's 15. We could select, you know, given these numbers, we could select 15 modules as community modules. These 15 are chosen from the larger pool of participating modules, and their designation as community means they receive guaranteed support for a development cycle. So we're guaranteeing that we're covering the maintenance and, you know, kind of tech debt costs for those modules. Reserve for innovation, DIPS. So everything that's left over, we have 3,000 CRPs left, is set aside to fund development proposals. The other 3,000 CRPs are placed in a reserve fund. These points are available for development initiative proposals, new projects, or enhancements that emerge from the community during the year. So the balance sheet. By the end of this process, the CRPs are distributed as follows. Core apps, 10 components, got 4,000 CRPs. Community apps, 15 chosen for the participating pool, 3,000. And the DIP reserve is 3,000. So that's the setup. So here's a scenario. Now we're getting into the DIP process. Library Consortia Sponsorship.
Can I have a question before?
Yes, please.
So how is it then in the scope of this group to list the 10 core apps and the 15, what was that called?
A community.
It sounds like that's a pretty core decision and how, or key decisions, and how are we to select the 10 apps?
So the TC is currently selecting these core apps. Like that's their job, is to pick these out.
Isn't it more the PC to select the core apps? And then I say, for, you know, the TC, they, if you look at what they spend their time on, then it is discussing supported tools and development framework. It is discussing security. How can we? So it's, they are definitely more interested in non-functional requirement, and I think that's right.
Yeah. So, core might have been a poorly chosen word here.
Okay.
But basically, it's just so. For instance, here's an example of a component of Folio that definitely will be core under this framework, and that would be in Eureka. The manager apps. There's three manager apps that help run Eureka. These are just things that facilitate the gateway operation. Okapi, for instance, would be a core component of Folio. These are things that build the platform that all the modules run on. But there's still things that need to be taken care of. But they're defined technically by dependence. It's like a dependency hierarchy.
I think that is
I was going to say even higher than that. You have the Spring framework and you have the RAML, or I forget what it is, framework. Those are the building blocks of all the modules. So I would say that those are core components.
Yeah.
And I mean, we are on top of the hour now, and I really have to run and on top of the hour to another meeting. Yeah. But I wanted to say, What we should make a pin here and discuss that further and make it especially clear what our task is here, because the more we talk about it, the more it gets, in my head at least, unclear.
Sure. Yeah, this is good. And I think that, if we end up needing to take an extra week or something like that to get our charter right, it's worth digging in and making sure we're happy with what we type up and what we bring forward. But yeah, I also have another meeting.
But we do have a meeting next Wednesday, right? So that gives us, 1 hour more to work on the, and then we can present a draft charter if that's.
If y'all are cool with it, I'll move the content that we were looking at into the charter just to kind of get some stuff down, and then we can like comment and change things in that context. Does that work? Okay. All right. I'll go ahead and do that, but before next week. All right. Take it easy, folks.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.